Titus chapter 3. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things, so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people. O Lord, have mercy on us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. One of the treasures of the Lutheran Church from its origin is the place that it allows in its teaching for the realities of hardship and suffering and disappointment. Ours is not a church that talks about victorious Christian living as if difficulties and sorrow and failure can never approach the baptized child of God. Our theology has a place for Jesus' warning, "In the world you will have tribulation." We don't deny the truth, St. Paul confessed, "For the Lord's sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered." Our theme hymn in these midweek Advent services, "The Night Shall Soon Be Ending," makes this very clear in its closing verses. The hymn began addressing all you whom darkness frightens with guilt or grief or pain, encouraging, "God's radiant star now brightens and bids you sing again." It went on to assure those who know their guilt that they need not cower before God, for through his redemptive power, he had reconciled all those who trust in Jesus. The third verse, which we considered last week, told of God's eternal plan for mercy, bringing about a new creation, beginning with the birth of Jesus, his Son. This gospel, this good news concerning reconciliation with God and a new creation, both of which are effected and accomplished through the person and work of Jesus our Savior, is wonderful to hear. God has taken care of the problem of your sin. You don't have to earn your way into his good graces, something the scriptures declare to be utterly impossible in any event. Nor do you have to suffer the punishment you deserve because of your failures to be holy, perfect, and completely above reproach according to God's exacting standards. By his perfect obedience and by his innocent suffering and death, his obedience for you and his death for you, Jesus has reconciled you to God. All of this is true and the best of good news, for its consequences are eternal. This doesn't mean, though, that everything in this life will always be wonderful for those who trust in God. With the promise of a new creation still echoing in our ears, the poet continues, "Yet nights will bring their sadness and rob our hearts of peace, and sin in all its madness around us may increase." The reality of being reconciled with God doesn't mean that we'll never know any sadness in this life. Sadness still comes as a consequence of the darkness that entered the world when Adam and Eve ate what God had not given them to eat. Sadness comes when you experience death and separation here in time. Death and separation that are a result of sin. Sadness comes when you see those you love making decisions that are harmful to them, that put them in danger and in opposition to God. And all of the things that cause sadness for us rob our hearts of peace. The fightings and fears within and without are unsettling. Tribulation and distress and persecution and famine and nakedness and danger and peril and sword. All things that Christians have experienced again and again since St. Paul wrote that list. These assault us and rob us of peace. And sin and all its madness around us may increase. The scriptures suggest that as the days go on, this world will get worse, not better. There's a reason why the elder who addressed John referred to the saints in glory as having come out of the great tribulation. And sadly, it's not just around us that sin and all its madness is evident. The madness of sin is also seen within. When you fall once again into the sins you so desperately want to leave behind you. St. Paul knew this reality very well. I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? But now one star is beaming, Jesus Christ. His rays have pierced the night of sin and death. God comes for our redeeming from sin's oppressive might. Sadness and sin persist, but not just these. God comes for our redeeming. Jesus came to earth over 2,000 years ago to redeem you from sin and death and the devil. But he didn't come just that once, finish his work, and then go away until his return at the end of time. No, still today he comes for your redeeming, comes in his word to convict you of your sin, lest you begin to imagine that you have no need of him, comes also to forgive you, lest you despair that because of your sin he's done with you and wants nothing to do with you. He comes in holy baptism to claim you as his own dear brother or sister. From that moment on, when God looks at you, he sees his beloved Son, Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ. So long as you trust in Jesus, he continues to be your coat, your covering. You are protected and covered and made holy by Jesus. But that's not all. Jesus comes in his word, I forgive you all your sins. As often as you sin and then turn again to him, he speaks these words to you, restoring you, forgiving you, assuring you that he has paid for more sins than you could possibly have committed. He extended this authority to forgive to his apostles and their successors, saying, if you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. He did this so that you and I could be as sure and certain of his forgiveness as if he came to us and spoke to us himself. And of course, he comes not just in your ears by his words, but also in your mouth as he gives you his true body with the bread and his blood with the wine, the very price he paid for your redemption. For you, he says, all for you, for the forgiveness of your sins, to give you life and salvation. It's true. God dwells with us in darkness and makes the night as day. Yet we resist the brightness and turn from God away. But grace does not forsake us. However far we run, God claims us still as children through Mary's infant son. God bless you to rejoice in his most gracious gift, forgiveness and life in his son, and keep you in repentance and faith until the day he comes to bring you home. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.